You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 5th, 2021, we are told that we have to have troops stay in D.C. maybe through the end of March because there is intel supposedly saying that right-wing groups are planning another attack. But so far, there's no evidence being presented to legislators. And Democrats are more than happy to have the troops there because it's a photo op for them, because it just reinforces the fact that they have to watch out for the Trump people. And that's why the fences stay up. And of course, for the left in D.C., additional troops and fences do help protect them. For our border, they don't really care. They don't care. Well, maybe one of the intel reports should take a look at something that's supposedly coming out of Iran. Iranian militia groups say they have active cells of operatives in D.C. and other U.S. cities. Now, that's a legitimate threat, probably, from Iranian militia. Do I hear the Democrats saying, yeah, let's take a look at that? No. Unless they're wearing a Trump hat, they're not going to pay attention to them. Here's a story. Listen to this. You're not going to hear on the state-controlled media, or if it is, it's going to get quick treatment and pushed aside. The Arkansas legislature voting to approve a measure that would ban nearly all abortions, except those to save the life of the mother. Lawmakers now sending that bill, titled the Arkansas Unborn Child Protection Act, to the governor, who is pro-life. We'll see what happens. The governor is pro-life, but they apparently have some concern about some parts of the bill. The Main Street reports out of Wall Street Journal and the New York Times showing that top advisors to Cuomo influencing state health officials to pull data from a public report regarding nursing home deaths from coronavirus. They were basically saying, take those numbers out and move them. The defense they're offering now as well, that the nursing home deaths that you're qualifying here, they really are folks who died in the hospital. They were nursing home deaths, and they were trying to hide it. They're trying to cover it up. But you're not going to see that on the state-controlled media. They're pretty much ignoring it. CNN, a perfect example. They made brief mention on their network, but when it came to the Twitter account with 53 million followers, the entire website, nope, we just don't have time for it. In the meantime, House Democrats pushing two bills to grant legal status to millions of illegal immigrants in the coming weeks. Millions of illegal immigrants in the coming weeks would have legal status based upon what the House Democrats are now pushing. Former President Trump tearing into Biden for what he described as a, quote, spiraling tsunami at the border. Trump saying our border is now totally out of control thanks to the disastrous leadership of Joe Biden. Our Border Patrol ICE agents have been disrespected, demeaned, and mocked by the Biden administration. We're going to deal with that in more detail coming up in this next segment, plus the fact that many coming across either have COVID, could have it. We don't know because they're not really testing them. And, of course, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says, we don't take our advice on counsel from former President Trump. You need to take advice somewhere because what you guys are doing now is endangering our nation. In the meantime, the Supreme Court, because the DOJ said we want to dismiss the case, the Supreme Court looked at three pending requests concerning the Trump order to withhold millions of dollars from so-called sanctuary jurisdictions. Biden, when he went in, immediately rescinded that Trump order. So now the DOJ does what it has to, filing letters to pull them. Supreme Court can only do one thing, agree, they're pulled. Word coming out, San Francisco has charged taxpayers $16 million to shelter more than 300 people that are homeless in that city. The food and the services costing taxpayers $61,000 apiece for 262 tents being used. And if you were looking to get on that Elon Musk SpaceX and maybe make a trip to the stars, I kind of wanted to do that. We can be thankful we did not go on the latest flight. They launched and landed a third Starship test vehicle, but shortly after returning to the ground, it blew up. Musk says everything will be safe for human transport by 2023. Check back with me at 2023.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500, but say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The numbers are exploding, and right now, up to 35% of people right now illegally entering are being processed outside of Title 42 and being allowed into the country. The majority are unaccompanied minors and families, and they're being released into every major metropolitan city in this country right now. And their strategy isn't to test. Their strategy is to tell the cartels, pretty please, don't come yet. It's a joke.
Those are the words of Mark Morgan, former acting director of the Customs Border Patrol on Fox News. The numbers at our border are exploding. And if there's any testing, it's haphazardly checking for COVID or any other diseases that might be brought in, because the Biden administration basically is opening the door. Now, they are trying, as you heard him say, they're telling the cartel, and the cartels are very active in helping ship illegals to our southern border and then get them across because they get money for it. They get money. And they use some of them as mules to bring drugs in and to smuggle others in for child trafficking, sex trafficking. When I hear the left cry out all the time, oh, the poor children, are you looking at what you're allowing to happen right in front of your eyes at these people can come across claiming it's their child? If you're not doing DNA testing, you don't know. Maybe the child's too young to even say anything, or maybe they're convinced it's a relative or something. Who knows? Nobody knows except them. And when it comes to testing, I told you yesterday, they decided to do a check at a Brownsville bus station. About 300-plus illegals were there waiting to be, because now we're spreading them across the nation, waiting to be boarded on buses and sent their way, some going to the Carolinas, some going somewhere else, and 100 of them tested positive for coronavirus. They did not quarantine them. They told them, you have it, so when you get where you're going, can you just stay inside and quarantine yourself for a few days? Sure. You really think they're going to? Of course not. And as I quoted in news and commentary a moment ago, former President Trump saying Biden is to blame for, quote, a spiraling tsunami at the border. And he said our border is now totally out of control thanks to the disastrous leadership of Joe Biden. And that is exactly what Mark Morgan, former acting director of Customs Border Patrol, is saying. The number's getting worse every day. And I told you earlier about this decision today from the Supreme Court. It was really a decision. It had no option. It dealt with, if you recall, in 2017, President Trump signed an executive order calling on all U.S. agencies to withhold federal funding from sanctuary jurisdictions. Many go, of course, governed by Democrats. San Francisco City, L.A., and then, of course, the states themselves. New York City and state, Illinois state, and Chicago, anywhere else that they're qualifying that they were a sanctuary city for illegals. Trump said, if you're going to violate our federal law, you will not get federal funding. So immediately all of those cities and states started filing lawsuit back. Well, as soon as he got in, after basically killing the XL pipeline, putting thousands of work out of work when folks are already having a hard time maintaining a job with COVID, after Biden did that, one of the other things he did was quickly rescind Trump's 2017 executive order. So the Department of Justice had to follow the ruling by Biden or his order, and they had to go forward with the Supreme Court and said, those cases that we brought before you to fight, we're dismissing them, so you can go ahead and push them aside. And that's what the court did today. They had no other option. New York City, San Francisco, various states, including California, New York, all those cases are now pushed aside. Because the Biden administration is going to continue to let illegals coming in. And they want you to believe that we're doing it in a good way. We know what we're doing. We know what we're doing. They tell you that, or they want you to believe that. And they also happen to admit, yeah, we're trying to tell everybody, don't come just yet. But they will not admit to chaos. They just say it's a challenge. And according again to Mark Morgan, former acting director of Customs Border Patrol, you're being lied to.
The DHS secretary this week lied to the American people, Harris. And look, that doesn't bring me pleasure to say this. When he said there wasn't a crisis, absolutely. Look, in the middle of a global pandemic, when less than 8% of our own citizens have received the vaccine, kids are still not in school, businesses are still not open, people are still out of a job. The way to shut down this virus is to open up our borders and increase immigration and then reinstate catch and release. And that's exactly what happened. And Harris, it's not just unaccompanied minors. We've seen a skyrocket more than double since the election, but also with the overall flow of illegal immigration. We're back to almost 5,000 every single day being apprehended trying to illegally enter this country. It's absolutely remarkable.
It is remarkable. It is remarkable. It's shocking. It's shameful. It's disastrous for our country, and it could be deadly for some Americans. The left who says you got to continue to lock down and the state of Texas is doing the wrong thing, lifting all the mask mandates and everything else. And I will tell you again, if there is a COVID outbreak in Texas, it's going to come because of illegals that came through without being checked and or even if they were checked, nothing was done about them. They didn't stay in quarantine. And again, in the view of Mark Morgan, former acting director of Customs Border Patrol, Biden is the one responsible for encouraging all this chaos.
In the middle of a global pandemic, these people are taking a dangerous trek, navigating through multiple COVID hotspots in Mexico. And then once they get to our border, they're kept in overcrowded, unsanitary stash houses for days and weeks, thrown in tractor trailers. These are COVID petri dishes, I refer to them. And that's exactly what this administration is encouraging. Look, what was effective under the Trump administration was the CDC's order that, look, the overwhelming majority of people during a global pandemic, we were processing at the border and returning to Mexico. We were not releasing into the interior of the United States.
No, we weren't. And you heard Morgan use a phrase I've used previously with you that you're basically referenced at that time, Cuomo's order in New York that nursing homes had to take elderly people, even if they had COVID. I said, you're just creating a petri dish filled with people that have the virus or basically a death row listing. And I would agree with them. That same thing is happening now with the illegals coming across. They're just going to let them come in, and they're going to maybe check them and maybe find that they're positive and then telling them, well, just go on your way, but you should be aware that you could be spreading it. So Keep your mask on. When you get somewhere, just quarantine. Right, right. The Texas governor, Abbott, when he decided to say we're going to go ahead and open up everything, he also has to recognize, let me put it that way, that while he's trying to get his state to move forward, the Biden administration is undermining and basically putting his state at risk.
The Biden administration was releasing illegal immigrants into our communities who had COVID. The Biden administration was spreading COVID in South Texas yesterday because of their lack of constraint of testing and quarantining people who'd come across the border illegally. The Biden administration was exposing Texans to COVID. That is Neanderthal-type approach to dealing with the COVID situation.
And, of course, that reference to Neanderthal is what Biden did the other day when he heard that the Texas governor was saying, we're going to open up our state, businesses can proceed as they choose, and we will drop the mask mandate. But he also said, you should exercise caution you think you need for you and your family. And Biden said, that's Neanderthal thinking. And I'll repeat what I said yesterday. Neanderthal thinking. Neanderthal. Takes one to know one. But aside from trying to bring a little humor to it, it's a serious situation. And it's not just in Texas. There are a lot of folks thinking, well, that's going to be bad for Texas. No, it's not just going to be bad for Texas because they're not all going to stay in Texas. They are free to roam about the country. And that question came up again about the illegals that are coming in. And again, I pointed out, at just one bus depot in Brownsville, Texas, they found 100 illegals that were COVID positive. So reporters are asking the White House, Jen Psaki, the White House, you know, the White House spokeswoman, about what's being done about this. Just listen to this question and exchange between a reporter and Jen Psaki.
At least 108 migrants have tested positive for COVID-19 after crossing the border. What is the administration doing to make sure that this doesn't contribute to spreading of COVID-19?
Our guidance, regardless of status, is testing positive for COVID-19 or experiencing COVID-like symptoms is to isolate, continue to social distance, wear a mask, and seek medical attention if needed.
Yeah, right, right. Isolate, or they're not isolating. For the most part, they're just letting them go on their way and telling them that when you get where you're going, you need to isolate for a period of time. And they may or may not continue mask. And it's not just, I'm not trying to put the onus just on Mexican population coming across. Keep in mind, some are coming all the way from Central America, Nicaragua, Honduras, and so forth. They're coming all the way from that country, those countries, and then through Mexico to get to our border, often under the claim of we need asylum. With they'd already left the country where they were under a threat and they needed asylum, they passed through at least one, two other countries, at least Mexico, before they get to our border, where they could claim asylum if that's what they want. They have now left the state where they're threatened. I should say the nation where they're threatened. It's a bogus claim. They're coming in to get jobs, take jobs from Americans who are already struggling. We have 10 million. They don't have jobs because of all this recent things with COVID and everything else. And then you got the first thing Biden did is get in and take the pen and strike out the XL pipeline. Immediately putting 1,000 out of jobs. And that's it. Those actually working on the pipeline. And then all up and down the route of that pipeline, folks who were counting on the traveling crews to come through and bring them money and fill up their cafes and restaurants and hotels. There goes the money they were going to have. And then the other side of it is, while we're doing all of this, and what Biden's in the process with, what he's doing, and the rest of the Dems, they will tell you, well, we have things under control. And yet at the same time, they're trying to send word, you can come to the U.S., but not right now. Do you think anyone down in the South, in Mexico, Honduras, do you think they understand that? Don't come now. They're fearful. They're fearful that if they don't come now, there might be an actual decision to close things down. So they're going to come now. And they're thinking anybody that side say, well, I'll wait until they say, come on, that they're going to be stupid. John Kennedy, Senator of Louisiana, says what we're having is a full-blown incentive for illegals to come into this country any way you can, however you can, and go about the country with whatever you want to do.
I'll give you an example. Look at President Biden's $2 trillion coronavirus bill. He gives money to people in his bill who are in our country illegally. Well, that's obviously an incentive to people to come here illegally and a disincentive to people to follow the rules. And if I could say a word about the coronavirus bill, Lawrence.
Yeah.
President Biden, because we're going to be taking it up tomorrow, President Biden said in putting together the bill, he said, we want to meet you, us, the Republicans, halfway. If that's the case, he's a damn poor judge of distance.
Yeah.
He's rejected everything we've proposed. This bill's dreadful. The only way I know how to improve it is with a shredder. It's not even a coronavirus bill. Calling this a coronavirus bill is like calling Harvey Weinstein a feminist.
Boy, nailed that, didn't he? And a shredder might be the best thing for the entire COVID bill. Oh, I want you to hear a few more words from Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, regarding this. We'll take a short break. We'll come back and let you again hear him talking about his view of the COVID bill. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's chock full of spending porn, billions of dollars to states and local governments that have seen their revenues go up, billions of dollars to pension programs, billions of dollars to schools with no requirement that they open. It's an orgy of pork.
An orgy of pork. Senator John Kennedy, Republican, Louisiana. And as he said earlier in the bite that we used, this coronavirus bill, the only thing that could improve it is a shredder. 600-plus pages. Now, let me give you some examples of where we're going with the Biden administration and the state-controlled media. I don't call them mainstream media anymore. I call them state-controlled media. The word out of the White House is that a group of senior administration officials are going to the border. They're going to travel to the border region to give a full briefing to Biden on how we're doing down there, unaccompanied minors, and anything that needs to be done to ensure the safety and care of these children. But the details of the trip are going to be kept secret, including who's going, where they're going to go. They're not going to allow any press coverage whatsoever until they're ready for it. It's closed to news reporters. Even CNN, I guess, will not have a chance to go. This is going to be a transparent White House? Really? You're sending several major officials of your administration. You're not even going to name for us that are going down there to the border to take a look at it. Are they going down to really report back or report how to cover it up more? I'll give you another example. The Right Side Broadcasting Network, that is a conservative news broadcaster, got a two-week suspension from YouTube. What did it do wrong? Well, it covered President Donald Trump's speech at the recent Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC. We reported on it last week. The video had nearly 4 million viewers before suddenly the Google-owned platform shut it down. The official Twitter account of RSBN stated, "We've been suspended from YouTube for 2 weeks because of the Trump PAC speech, which they say violated their guidelines. It's been removed from the Facebook platform." They were saying, "We were told that if we had offered countervailing viewpoints to what Trump was claiming about election irregularities, we could have kept it on. That's according to the YouTube terms, apparently. Said essentially we would have had to go on the air and say everything Trump just said about election fraud is not true. And added, we won't censor President Trump or push back against things he says that, quite frankly, we agree with. YouTube saying, we enforce our community guidelines consistently, regardless of speaker or political leaning. I say BS. You do not. You have an agenda and you're still carrying it out. And the state-controlled media is helping you do it. They were simply running his speech as he gave it. So I guess they're trying to say if he had not made anything about maybe the election was not conducted as it should have been, or that there could have been some cases of fraud or anything else like that, then it would have been okay. I remind you again, and there's no sense reminding them because they know what they did. They challenged the Trump legality of his election all 4 years he was in office. And Hillary never has admitted that Trump actually won. He got in only because the Russians helped him. And that got debunked. And they still had no problem pushing that story around over and over again. And now the state-controlled media and the transparent Biden White House will continue to shove lies in your face. You stay with me and I'll try to make sure you get the right answers going forward. Because as I've said previously, this program is more important than ever, more important even than when Trump was in the office. That's why I'm here. That's why I appreciate you being here. There's another subject I want to deal with. I don't always deal with politics, but of course, a lot of things now are tied to politics. But something has always bothered me, and I'm sure it's bothered many of you, are our kids getting proper education. I'm not talking about in the midst of the COVID. That's bad enough. Believe me, that's a mess, and who knows how bad that's going to hurt us going down the road. But we have had decades, generations of kids going through school systems, just passing them forward, and they were not prepared. I want to break that story down, looking at what came out of an investigative report by a TV station in Baltimore.
Email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This coming June is when Tiffany France thought her son would receive his diploma.
And I'm just trying to fight. He like, Mom, what was all this for? What did I do this for? Like, don't he get a chance? Do he get a chance?
But after 4 years of high school, this mom just learned her 17-year-old has to start over. He's been moved back to ninth grade.
Why would he do 3 more years in school? He didn't fail. The school failed him. The school failed at their job. They failed. They failed. That's the problem here. They failed. They failed. He didn't deserve that.
France's son attends Augusta Fell Savage Institute of Visual Arts in West Baltimore. His transcripts show in 4 years, he has passed just 3 classes, earning 2.5 credits, which places him in ninth grade.
That is a report out of Fox 45 in Baltimore. The reporter is Chris Pabst. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. They deserve all the credit for breaking this story. They've been after this apparently for 2 years, having go through lawsuits to get information from the Baltimore School District. And finally, a judge said, you got to release it. And now the information is coming out. This is a Baltimore high school student, as you heard him say, failing all but 3 classes over 4 years. Now, you're going to have to just assume that he actually did pass 3 classes. 3 out of 4 years. He may not have even passed those, but he did get a passing grade. Excuse me. Anyway, he almost graduated near the top half of his class with a 0.13 GPA. 0.13. And his mother's right. The school system failed him. And she thought, well, he's being promoted. He must be doing things right. She was so proud of him. But the station did a deeper dive into his transcripts, and here's what Fox 45 found.
His transcripts show he failed Spanish 1 and Algebra 1, but was promoted to Spanish 2 and Algebra 2. He also failed English 2, but was passed on to English 3.
I'm just assuming that if you are passing, that you have the proper things, you know, to go to the next grade. And, you know, the right grades, you have the right credits.
As we dig deeper into her son's records, we can see in his first 3 years at Augusta Fells, he failed 22 classes and was late or absent 272 times. But in those 3 years, only one teacher requested a parent conference, which France says never happened. No one from the school told this mother her son was failing and not going to class.
She is a mother of three children, a single mom. She's got her hands full, works three jobs, and she was proud of her son. He's making his way through high school, so she thought, because she would see the promotion at the end of each year. Okay, he goes on to the next grade, and then the next grade, and he was scheduled to graduate here in June. She's obviously very proud of him. And then the word comes down that he's going to have to go back to the ninth grade. And she said, he's stressed. I am. And she said, the school failed him. And I agree with her. I agree fully. But here's the issue. I want to make sure you understand this has nothing to do with COVID issues. This has been going on for years with this child. And it's obviously probably, let me restate that, it is obviously not just this child. If he's in the top half of his class with 0.13 GPA, where is the other half? We're going to get to that in just a moment. But as you heard the report from Fox 45, Chris Pabst, he failed 22 classes and was late or absent 272 days over his first 3 years of high school. And others are now coming forward. Sometimes they don't want their name used, but they were part of the story as well. One teacher wrote, if this is a school policy, then I guess a grade should be changed, although I don't think that should happen. Something like 8,000 emails started coming in about this culture of grade changing, just passing the kids forward. One teacher describes a grade given to a student who, quote, never even set foot on their campus. Another city school's employee interviewed by Fox 45 said it's out of control. Grade changing is completely out of control. This does not help the children. And most of these, let's be very direct and honest about this. Most of these are minority students. If they're coming out not educated, not even capable of really reading, what kind of job are they going to get? And where are they going to go? They're going to go on the streets. They're going to, you know, like make money doing drugs or anything else. I'm not saying they're all going to do that. But the point is, if you're not giving the kid what they're supposed to be getting. And it's been done that way for too long. And I know many school teachers over the years that I've talked to, and they don't like it at all. They in some cases, they've been almost forced to do it. Push them forward. Well, they're not really ready. Yeah, but push them forward. And in some cases, teachers' unions are all about it because it makes us look good. That's why teachers don't want to have to go through reassessment. They just say, you know, our kids are good and great. They're all doing great. And remember, there have been numerous cases where teachers have helped the kids cheat on various tests, especially standardized tests, SATs, ACTs, so forth. That's not helping the child. And when you want to cry out, help the minority community, then why don't you do it right there? And it's for all children. But they're the ones hurting the worst. Again, let's go back to this Fox 45 report about the son's, Tiffany France's son, and his GPA.
France's son, in his 4 years at Augusta Fells, earned a grade point average of 0.13. He only passed three classes. But his transcripts show his class rank is 62 out of 120. This means nearly half of his classmates, 58 of them, have a GPA of 0.13 or lower.
He's a good kid. Like, he didn't deserve that. Where is the mentors? Where is the help?
Where are the teachers? Where's the administration? Kirk Cox is a Republican Virginia gubernatorial candidate. Been a teacher for 30 years. And he's watching what's happening during the coronavirus pandemic. And again, what we were just talking about had nothing to do with the pandemic. But now you add that kind of culture that is existing, apparently, probably in many schools now, and then you put the COVID lockdown on top of it, Zoom learning, no in-class study, things of this nature. He's acknowledging, listen, this is not going to help these kids. He said, a lost year can become a lost generation. Now, of course, he's a politician running for the governorship in Virginia as a Republican. He said, I was advocating to open all schools in July. And, of course, the governor, Northam, did nothing on it. He said, we need to not only reopen schools, but combat learning loss. He said, only 26 of our state's 132 school divisions are operating in person. He said, what we're going to have to do is that this remote learning has not done the effect. We're going to have to go back. And some of these kids are going to have a lot of additional help. And he stated, in fact, students of color could be 6 to 12 months behind compared to 4 to 8 with white students. Some of it because they don't have the technology to do the Zoom training. Sometimes because they're not really capable of learning that way. My oldest daughter was having trouble with tests, and yet I knew she knew the subject. Because I would test her on some of the things. She could verbally answer. If I raised the question verbally, she could answer. She was having a hard time on a test reading it. She wasn't dyslexic. She just got anxiety and she just couldn't do it effectively. I went to the school, said, can you give the test to her verbally? She said, yeah. Well, her grades went up immediately. Anywhere you can help a child, you want to do that. And this COVID issue, what we've been going through, is totally wrecking what we have been trying to do, even if we're doing the right job. But when we had generations of kids shoveled through like this just to make the teachers and our school districts look good, it's not helping the kids, it's not helping our nation, and it's leading to more troubles down the road. It's, you know, many of us have a teacher we look back and just, that teacher really had an influence on me. And I know many teachers that are proud to be able to do teaching. They went into it because they love teaching. They love helping. But either sometimes they get burned out, and sometimes it's just the system is too big for them too, so they kind of crater to it. And then you get some of the subjects we're being pushed on us now, the woke generation pushing all kinds of stuff that had to be done. In Lubbock, Texas, Shallow Water High School did a chivalry assignment. Now, what they wanted to do in the chivalry day, female students had to dress in a feminine manner, and this way it was written, to please the men, cook for something for gentlemen of the class, and refrain from showing intellectual superiority around the men. Who the hell came up with this idea? Well, on top of that, if you actually look up the word chivalry, it's the men that are supposed to be chivalrous to women, not the other way around. And it's built off of the knights and noblemen of the French chivalry years, and a knight is supposed to be humility. Never even had to announce you're a knight. You show it by your actions. Where does that kind of teaching help kids? In the midst of the COVID? Idiots. And then we have a tragedy in a community. And where is Black Lives Matter? Where are they? Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17.
was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You have heard me talk about this H.R. 1, as it's known as the For the People Act. That's the bill the House of Representatives pushing through that they claim will make elections better. Republicans say, no, you're simply going to compromise election integrity. And the whole idea here is federalizing U.S. elections, telling the states how to run their elections, which I would say is in violation of the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. That power is not specifically given to the federal government, is reserved for the states, and yet they're trying to rush in and do this thing. And Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation stated directly, this puts in terrible provisions. It's federal micromanagement. And everything folks on the left want to reduce the integrity and security of the election process. If you're a state like Alabama or Texas that has a voter ID law, forget it. This will override all state voter ID laws. And here comes twice failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, still trying to be relevant. Said this HR, and this should tell you everything. This should tell you everything. When Hillary Clinton says this bill is, quote, a once-in-a-generation opportunity. Once-in-a-generation opportunity. As she says, it's protecting the vote. It's precious, sacred. No, it's not protecting the vote, and it's not going to help Americans. It's not going to help our nation. It's going to open up, pardon me, more fraud. It's not going to be anything good for the nation. And if you had any doubt, look what Hillary just said. You know how many times I have brought up the issue about Black Lives Matter, that where are they when killings happen in neighborhoods, especially when it's black-on-black crime? Why aren't they in there if those Black Lives Matter? It's apparently because it's only going to matter if it involves a police officer killing a black person, even if the officer is black. But I pointed out repeatedly, if you really believe in Black Lives Matter, you should be there each and every time. And Black Lives Matter, National International Foundation, admitted the other day, they've drawn in something like $90 million. How much have they put back in the local communities to help make it safer? How much have they put back in to help black-owned businesses restart after an arson or fire or vandalism? But here's something that's even more troubling. St. Louis County, Missouri Dateline. North St. Louis County. A baby was kidnapped overnight, and there was an Amber Alert. I can tell you that the one-year-old girl has been found safe and uninjured. The 35-year-old man is accused of abducting the child. But according to police, he did not just abduct the child, but in the process, killed her mother, 34 years old, and two siblings, a child 13 and a child 6, to carry out this kidnapping. According to police, again, it's just allegations. He has been captured. He's facing charges of parental abduction, abducting, kidnapping the child. And, of course, now they're beginning to put the case together on, according to their reports, that he did the shootings of the other. And I need to clarify. I think I said that he's in custody. What I meant to say that it's been resolved. It appears that he shot and killed himself after he left the scene. But, again, the baby child, the one-year-old, is okay. It's a black mother and her children and a black man who was married to her, and they were filing for divorce, and he just went the wrong way. Can you imagine the horror? And who knows how it actually went down in the home with the 34-year-old mother and the children aged 13 and 6. If there's any grace, the children were asleep and never knew. They went to sleep and didn't wake up. Maybe the mother knew, maybe not. But where's Black Lives Matter? Why aren't you out there saying this has got to stop? It's black-on-black crime, in this case, inside of a family. It's domestic. It happens in white families, brown families, yellow families. But I will tell you this. Black lives matter. Here, a black life of a mother, a black life of a 13-year-old, the black life of a 6-year-old. They all matter. Thank God that the 1-year-old child is safe. That child's going to need a lot of prayer and help moving forward. Keep her in your prayers. And the deceased children and their mother. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back Monday. I do appreciate your support. I truly do. Thanks for spreading the word to help others know about the program. Enjoy your weekend. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.